All right, with that in mind, we're in the gospel of what? Proverbs, that's right, the gospel of Proverbs. Because the word gospel means what? Good news. And so we have good news from Proverbs. You ought to see the looks I got just then, all right? I got some looks. I could even see you on live stream. Some of the looks like gospel of Proverbs, this bless his heart. He got too hot out there going up those mountains this evening. All right. And they kind of do build streets on an incline here, don't they? And so that's good. Be fun in the wintertime till you get down to the main road. Then it might not be so good. But so Proverbs chapter 12 is where we are. Proverbs chapter 12. Now, I don't know who will be here next Wednesday night. And those who won't, we have some that are away tonight. But we're going to revert back to, we've taken about 3 or 4 weeks now where I've done the teaching just by myself. But we're going to go back and we're going to have the men of the church to pick out whichever text that you want to choose, and we're going to keep it to about 5, 6, 7 minutes each, and 8 minutes if you really get evangelistic in there, all right? But 5, 6, 7 minutes, so we're going to have different men to pick out from chapter number 13 where you want to teach. Now, what we've been doing is I would teach it one Wednesday night, and then the next Wednesday night, you would pick maybe passages that I didn't choose. And they have been excellent. How many of you have enjoyed that? Amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, all over the place. And so, but what we're going to do is reverse that. And so next Wednesday night, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, you pick out the men in the congregation here and those who are not able to be with us tonight but would like to be with us next Wednesday and would like to teach, you pick out a passage of Scripture that you're going to pray over, maybe even fast over, but you're going to say, Lord, I'm hungry to feed from Proverbs chapter 13. Now, I'm not asking you to teach the entire text, but pick out just a vignette of truth, a passage, it may be one verse or two or three at the most, that just has some golden nuggets in it, some rich truths that will help us to know God better or to know how to serve God, know how to please God, whatever it is, in the context, all right? So if you'll come prepared for that from chapter 13, and then the next Wednesday night, I'll try to find a jewel or two that maybe we didn't have time to get to on that Wednesday night, and so I'll do the next one. And so you've had to be creative in following me, and now I'm going to reverse that, and I'll have to be creative and looking and say, okay, Lord, oh, that was good. They taught that so well. That was such a blessing. And that was just, oh, wait a minute. There's some more nuggets in here. Lord, help me to find something. All right, so how many of you men who are here tonight, and again, we have several who are not here, but how many of you men will plan on next Wednesday night finding a passage of Scripture like you've been doing from Proverbs chapter 13? If you'll raise your hand, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. You won't be here, but you already raised your hand, brother. All in favor of him being here, say aye. All opposed, likes it. No, we're teasing. All right. And then Brother Larry. Okay, so I think that made about 5. All right. So that'll be great. That'll be great. And I'm looking forward to it. It has just been wonderful. And it's been deep truths. Some maybe a little more shallow, but some that were really deep. All right. And I'm glad Josh raised his hand. All right. And, it's up now. All right. Now we have 6. All right. Yeah. Chapter 13. I think they call that peer pressure or something like that. All right. You don't have to if you don't want to. But, boy, his hand popped up as soon as I began to say Josh. All right. All right. Good. And I was teasing Josh. I was just teasing. But it was good the last time, wasn't it? And for those who don't know, Brother Josh, that was his first time last time. And it was rich. It was very, very good. Very good. All right. Proverbs chapter 12 is where we are tonight. And so we'll take as many as we have time for. Just the verses that I looked. And obviously the whole chapter is just rich with biblical truth because God had it to be written. But if I could just hop, skip, and jump just a little bit as time allows tonight, and we'll just see how far we get with the, I think, 4 or 5 verses that just leaped out to my heart for what I need, and I would like to share it with you tonight. So it's going to start with a good place to start, and that is the beginning, verse number 1. So if you'll look at that with me, please. Verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter 12. The Bible records it in this manner. Whoso loveth instruction. So let's slow down. Whoso loveth. All right. Now that's not notices. It's not just is intrigued by. Not just has an affection for. This is loveth. Okay. So let's look at it. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. He that loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now we're not going to look so much at the latter part of that as we are the former part, the first section of that. And we'll notice the other two as well. But let's notice the first part. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Now, as you know, last time when I was doing the teaching last time, which was, did we meet last week or week before? It was last week, didn't we? We met last week, yeah. We broke it up and the men took certain ones and the ladies met with the ladies. That's what we did last time. That's right. And what we looked at is, as I just assigned it, that oftentimes in the Proverbs, the first word of emphasis is not really the first in the sequence. Oftentimes, the first word of emphasis is a word of ambition. It's a word of warning. It's a word of importance. And yet, there's a word that follows that this is really what you're after, and this is a means, this is a way to get to what you're after. Okay? And verse number one is very much in that form. All right? So let's look at it. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. There's not too many people that wake up in the morning and say, I want instruction today. Doesn't matter what it is. I just want somebody to instruct me. I can't wait. It doesn't matter if it's a police officer. It doesn't matter if it's a judge. It doesn't matter if it's my mama. It doesn't matter. I just want instruction, all right? Now, there may be some people like that, all right? But really, I think if we think it through, what they're after is knowledge. Now, there are people who love instruction, but the reason they love instruction is because they love knowledge. Let me give you a goofy illustration. I know you love, you know that I love airplanes. I just do. I like the big ones. They're like tin cans that just go through the air, carry people, all right? I like the little ones that can do this, you know, and down and get down and you're flying over the land. And we had some missionaries that were with us. He was my best friend all through high school. And they've been missionaries in South Africa. They were with us yesterday. And were with us 2 or 3 weeks ago. They were coming through again yesterday, so we had a meal with them and just some refreshment and just enjoyed it. But he thought he was going to be a missionary pilot. And so he got all of the tickets, all of the licenses to fly any airplane, air transport, these big jets. And he could fly anything. And then God called him to be a missionary in South Africa, not to fly airplanes, but to be a preacher. And then to be a pastor, and then to start a Bible Institute. And God has used him in a wonderful way. But he was telling me when he went to Christian Heritage College out in California to get all of his licenses, he had to do what's called contour flying. And that is where you're flying and you're just feet over the ground. And it's out in the country, you know, it's just open airspace. You're out in the country and you are almost on the ground. And you fly according to the contour of the land. And he was doing that. Everything was fine. But he was flying up a hill and a tractor was coming up the other side of the hill. And I don't know whose eyes got wider the most quickly. The driver of the tractor or David, one or the other. But they missed each other, thankfully. But now here's the point. When he was learning to take flying lessons, I happened to be where I just went to visit him. And so he went to his instructor. And this is when I was in high school. I weighed probably about 90, 95 pounds. I was small. You don't know that, but I was small at the time and didn't weigh much at all, not at all. And so David said, can he come with us? Well, it was called a tri-pacer, which didn't have a back seat. But it had a little luggage thing that you could put a suitcase on if you're going to fly somewhere in the little airplane. And the instructor looked at me and it was kind of a compliment, I guess. I don't know. He said, well, he's just a little thing. Yeah, he's not weighing any more than a suitcase. Yeah, he can fly with us. And you know what? I fell in love with airplanes that day. And so what I did, the next opportunity, I went to the airport and I said, I want to rent an airplane. And they said, well, sure, it'll be this amount of money. Here, take it. No! They said, you're going to have to get a license first. You have to get a solo license. Well, I didn't want to have to pay the money for that. But you know what? I loved airplanes so much that I was willing to fly in the summertime when it was hot on the ground till you got up in the air and you have a little window that's open, a little weather window. And I had to pay all that money to fly. Why? Not because I loved instruction, but I loved being up in the air. Here's my point. Notice what he says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. Instruction is the attempt. No matter what it is, it is the attempt. But he loveth knowledge. That's the acquisition. You remember we're now in chapter 12, but we saw about understanding and knowledge in chapter 1. We saw that same emphasis in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 6 and chapter 8 and chapter... God saying to his people through Solomon, as he begins this chapter of just rich truths, how much do we love knowledge? One way to measure how much we love knowledge, are you settled in? Are you got seatbelt on? Everybody got a seatbelt on? Live stream folks, you might want to double hitch that seatbelt. There's a lot of people who say, I love God, but they don't love instruction. They're content to, you know, go to the bookstore and read a book about the Bible, and nothing wrong with reading a good book about the Bible, but it's a whole lot better to read the Bible. Amen? That's God's Word. That's the standard. Okay? So that when you and I understand, wait a minute, why do we have Sunday morning? Why do we have Sunday night? Why do we have Wednesday night? Of course, you're here, and live stream folks, you're right with us. But the point we're making here is, notice what he says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. That's why you want the instruction. I wanted to learn how to swim fast. And when I was in California, I would swim lap after lap after lap after lap after lap. I studied how to do a racing dive. And they've changed it since then, but back then when you wanted to race swimming, you would do this, you would get at the chocks or put your toes over the edge, and you would go back, and as soon as the gun would go off or the whatever it was, you would do basically a belly flop, boom, and skim the water and I watched everything I could watch on how to take off fast, how to stay on top, how to do the butterfly, how to do whatever it was, the breaststroke, how to swim a mile, whatever it was. I was all in it. Why? Because I wanted to be skilled at it. Never was all that good at it, but I enjoyed it a lot. Now, here's the point. When we love God with all of our hearts, there shouldn't be a time until we see Jesus face to face. And even then, I'm not certain that we won't be able to grow. I don't know how heaven's going to be. I don't know if we'll have full knowledge or he'll allow us to continue growing into perfection as far as our full understanding of who God is and what he's done. Or if we'll just, as soon as the rapture, we have our glorified body, we'll have a glorified mind, we'll understand everything. And no, I don't know, but I do know this. He which hath begun a good work in you will what? Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If I don't love knowledge that I may know him, Philippians 3, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If Randy Bray does not love Jesus, I'm not going to love knowledge. And if I don't love knowledge, I'm not going to love Jesus like I ought to. And if I love Jesus and I want to know him and the power, I want to know him intimately as friend with friend. The only way that's going to happen is through instruction. Now, sometimes instruction doesn't come through just the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit counseling our heart. It may be a way of a brother or sister in Christ giving a rebuke or coming alongside or through some crisis that you would have rather taken a detour and just made your way around that crisis, and yet it was in the very bowels of that circumstance that he, your shepherd, was able to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't mean it was death per se, as far as physical death, but the death of circumstances around you. The valley of the shadow, it doesn't say death itself, it says the shadow of death. To where it's difficult to see and to really be able to understand where you are. It says, but yet he is our shepherd. Now, why does he want us to love knowledge? Why does he want us to love instruction? Notice the last part of the verse, and we'll hurry. He said, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is what? Yeah. So he's keeping us from that. Brutish. We'll not say a lot about that. We could go on. You could go on, no doubt about it. But we could just suffice it to say, no, wait a minute. If those are the alternatives, I mean, if I have in this hand an avocado, the best of the best, and I have over here a peanut butter sandwich that's 5 days old, which one am I going to take? The 5-day-old peanut butter, of course. All right? The best of the best, all right? Now, the point is, if I have walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh, if I am able to enjoy to whatever degree the same relationship that Moses had with God as a friend with a friend, but on the other hand, it's just being brutish. Brutish is, I don't need anybody. None of us here, and certainly online, or most any Christian would say, I don't need God, not by word, but by lifestyle, yes. Says here, he that loveth instruction loveth knowledge. I hope that we will. I hope that I will. Well, let's hurry to verse number 3. Oh, that's a good one. Verse number 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness. All right, we've got that. All right, but now let's notice, and this is where you have things that are out of order and as far as the wording, but sequentially out of order, and yet one is preparing for the other. So let's look at it. All right, he says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, we could read that in a skinny minute, as they would say in Texas. Okay? But if we'll let it marinate in our minds for a little bit, in our hearts, this is a phenomenal verse. Notice what he says. A man shall not be established by wickedness. We know that. It's not going to work. But the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So let's look at some words. You can look them up. You have become very skilled at that. I love it when these men teach and they've looked at at the Blue Letter Bible, or they've gotten a commentary out or whatever, and many of you are doing that. And that just, that is so good. That is so good. Thank you for going to the extra effort to mine out the nuggets of truth. And so, in like fashion, following your example, let me do that. The root, that has the idea of firmness and permanence. The illustrations that's given, and I just looked it up in the Blue Letter Bible, not just hours ago, but all I did, I didn't look it up in Vines or a Greek commentary or anything else. But it has this idea in mind. It is the stratum, like a stratus of a rock layer. It's a stratum, you know, of multiple. The stratum of a mountain or at the bottom of the sea. So think about it. When you have one of our mountains around here, let's go to Mount Pisgah. All right, you have Mount Pisgah. It's up, I forget how many thousand feet. Was it 5,000, 4,000, something like that? It's up there. All right? And it's not just, okay, here's up where the restaurant is and the tower is. And so here it is. It's just a... Okay, glad to put the sound effects in there, all right? At least I'm not beating on the microphone this time. All right. You should be smiling at that now. All right. I'll explain that one later, brother. All right. But I was their pastor for 20 years. There's no telling, right? Never mind. You don't have to comment there. All right. But they know me well. All right. So here's Mount Pisgah. And this is the way it's formed. It goes, tss. Well, I won't do the sound effects. All right, down here. All right. Is that the way? No. Here it is. It goes like this. I mean, it has different mountain ranges involved along with it. The Blue Ridge Parkway and all that. The root, as this word implies, is if you came to the center of that and you have all of this other outside there, it's talking about the root of the mountain. Or if you went down to what's the channel called? Thank you, the Mariana Trench. Boy, that's scary. He and I think alike. That is scary. All right. Scary for him. All right. But if you went to the base of that, and then you took in all of the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, and you went to the depths of where it is. The Bible calls them the mountains and the oceans. All right? And there are mountains and the oceans. If you went to the depths of that, that would be called the root. It has firmness. It has permanence. It has all of that in it. Now notice what he says. The root of the righteous. Oh, there we go. There we go. The real subject here is the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? They're the ones who go to Calvary Baptist Church. He is the one who stands behind the pulpit. That's why he's righteous, right? No, of course not. And no, not just because you come to Calvary or you listen on the live stream. No. Oh, the Word of God tells us so much about the righteous. Okay, the just shall live by faith. The righteous one shall live by faith. There's so many wonderful attributes of those who are walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. But notice what he says here. Now, this is important where you live. If you are unemployed, if you are retired, if you are going to work at 2 o'clock in the morning, or no matter if you're a housewife, if you are whatever vocation in life you have, no matter how you are health-wise, the Bible says this. If you walk with the Lord, we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about blameless. Perfection is without sin. Blameless is getting right when you do sin. Staying right with God. Listening to the sweet Holy Spirit. Well, he says, Margaret, that wasn't right. He says, Jordan, that, you know that wasn't right. He says, Jesse, you know that wasn't right. Randy, you know. Lord, I'm sorry. And if I've done something against my wife, if I've said something in an untoward way, then I'm to go to her, Matthew chapter 5, and say, sweetheart, I am so sorry. Or brother Larry, I am so sorry. But he says, the root of the righteous. Now, when you and I think about the root of the righteous, what does it say about it? The righteous is the essential condition. The root is the firmness, the foundation, the broadness of it. It's something that we may not even know what is all out there. We don't even know where Mount Pisgah and Mount Mitchell and all of these others in this mountain range are. We may not know all that, but what we do know, is what God wants me to do today. How God wants me to walk for Him today and represent Him today. What He wants me to do in service for Him today. Because I don't have to know all my root structure. I just have to know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him that day. I am to press toward the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm to be convinced that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I am to be used of God some way every day until I see Jesus face to face. And when I'm doing that, and I'm not so concerned about, I'm rich in root about how of my wisdom. Well, I probably just lost a root stem. Or I'm rich in root about how my intellect, I'm able to iron sharpening iron. And boy, I can dull somebody else's in a skinny minute because I'm so sharp. Okay? No. It's just going about growing in the Lord and being used of God. And guess what happens? As I'm doing that, God is broadening my strength basis. You don't ever see Mount Pisgah doing this in a windstorm. And then this wind stops and goes clunk. You don't see the oceans, yes, on the surface and even under the surface. It may roar this way and it may swing this way, but the Bible says there's garments for the oceans. They'll come back exactly where they're supposed to be. And that's what this verse is all about. Brother Josh, Brother Jordan, Brother Chris, Sister Curtin, Sister, you and I, when we understand, I don't have to worry about the root system. I just have to worry about my walk after the Spirit and growing in the Lord and being used of God some way every day and being right with God according to the Word of God and not compromising God's standards just because I like something, because liking something is not the guarantor of accuracy. What guarantees whether I'm accurate or not is if it's in this book. If it contradicts this book in any fashion, then I'm less than wise. As a matter of fact, I'm foolish if I continue in that same direction. Now let's look at the benefit. Let's notice what he says. The root, that's the firmness, that's the root system. Lowest stratum of the mountain. Of the righteous, that's the essential condition. Oh, now let's look at it. Notice what he says. Shall not be what? Oh. There are things that come into our lives that will do its best to make accusations against God, accusations against ourselves. Notice what he says. In verse 1, he talks about the brutish. In verse number 2, he talks about condemnation. In verse number 3, he talks about being unestablished or not established. The truth of the matter is temptations leading to brutishness and condemnation and being unestablished or not established, temptations leading those will always be present as options in our lives. Now they don't say, Greta, this is a brutish temptation you're going to face here. No. It may come by way of intimacy. Maybe like it did with, just different ones, but maybe like Joseph. I don't mean in a sensual way with her, but just intimate. It's not something that's going to grab her and say, oh, you need to see that this is hard, but you need to give into it. No, it may be intimate to where there's a part of her that's going to want to be a part of that. Yeah, everybody else is doing it. Yeah, I don't have to tell folks about Jesus or whatever. It can be intimate. Those temptations will always be there as options. Sometimes it's casually. Maybe like David's men when Saul was in the cave and David's men were in the cave. And it was just a casual conversation. It wasn't an intimate one. It was a casual. Now, see, this is what God has provided. That's what they told him. God has honored you, David. And look here, here's Saul. He's in the front of the cave. You can take his life right now and you will be once again put in your position that's rightfully yours. Sometimes those temptations will come by intimacy. Sometimes they will come just casually. Sometimes they'll come violently, like the three Hebrew children. If you don't bow the knee, you're going to die. You're going to go in that furnace. So what we need to understand is that those options for being brutish or condemned or unanswerable things, and those are always going to be options that come into our lives in the various settings of life. They're going to. We can't help that. That's why it's temptation. If we didn't want a part of it, it wouldn't be a temptation. But we don't have to walk around going, I'm going to be tempted today. Miss Wanda, I will be tempted today. I hope you're not. Brother Alan, no, we don't have to do that. Why? Somebody give me a good reason, give me a Bible reason why we don't have to cower in a corner if we're walking after the Lord. And we know that the Bible says in Romans 7:21, he says, when I would do good, that means I've considered a matter and I've determined to do God's will. That's what the word would means there. Okay, it's not a helping verb, it's an active verb, thele. And it means I've thought about it. This is what I want to do. I want to do God's will. You may not have even been able to do it. It's just a thought and it's a decision you've made. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, let me ask the question. Why is it, Brother Roger? Why is it, Sister Kim? Why is it that I don't have to walk around going, I know temptation's going to come today. I wish I wouldn't. Well, I do too. I mean, we all do. Amen? You know, we don't want to have temptation, but it's going to come. Somebody here tonight, give me a good Bible reason why I do not, if I'm walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, if I'm walking after the Lord, why do I not have to walk around cowering in a corner because temptation's going to come my way? Somebody give me a good Bible reason. I hope it's the one I'm thinking about, Brother Larry. What is it?
Romans 8:15.
Oh. I hadn't even thought of that one. That's good. Anybody want to say amen?
Amen.
He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but he's giving us a perfect balance. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Is that the same verse you quoted? But that's a good one too. Right? But all those have the same thing in mind. All right, very good. Someone give me another good Bible reason why we don't have to cower in a corner. Yes, ma'am. Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, someone else give me a good Bible reason. Yes, ma'am. Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. These are all good. I should have known when I asked for Bible reasons, I'd get them. Somebody else give me a good Bible reason that you've heard recently. He's faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Why? Provide a means of escape whereby you're able to bear it. Very good, honey. Somebody give me one that we've talked about recently. As a matter of fact, very recently.
Well, I don't know how recently, but neither tempted he any man. Speaking of God.
Oh, yeah.
The source of the temptation is not from God.
Very good. James chapter 1. Okay, very good. Someone else, very, very, very recently. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you're very good. All right. Someone else, extremely recently. Like tonight. Yes. I love you, sister. Okay, in the Lord, you're my sister. Yes, there's a root system. If you're walking and you're just doing your best and you're not reading your Bible, you have everything to worry about temptation. It's going to slap you around, or me. It'll slap us around. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter if you're in the ministry or not. Doesn't matter if I'm good to go. You know, I'm here on Sunday morning. Yeah, I'm good to go. I've got my dose of religiosity, and I'm good to go through this week. Okay? Ouch. But it's the truth. There's a lot of folks who say they love Jesus, and I think in their heart they do. And I know there's some folks that have some challenges and can't be back Sunday night. I'm not fussing, okay? But what I am saying is this. If there's no root system, what happens to the tree when a storm comes? It's going over. And it's the same thing with a child of God who does not invest. They don't love wisdom. They don't love knowledge. Therefore, they avoid instruction. I'm just going to get a lecture. I'm just going to get preached to. I'm just going to get, I know every time I see that man at work, he's going to come tell me about it. I wish I had not traveled that journey, but I have. I think I've told you about Tassos Maharis from Greece. And I won't put you the whole story. You've probably heard it before. I don't know if you have or not. But he got saved. He was from Greece, but he had all kinds of contracts with Capitol Records and things to play rock music. Have I told that already in here? Okay, long story short, up in New York, he was at Greenwich Village, I think it was. He was out. He was about to head for California to record his records and already had the contracts and everything. And he and his live-in girlfriend, Vicky Riccadella, were there in, I think, Greenwich Village. And he's playing just on acoustic guitar, just playing rock music, just a skilled guy. And there was a bunch of young people from Word of Life Camp came down and was giving out tracks, just like we did tonight, just giving out tracks. And here's this long-haired guy and another guy, Lenny Byerly, but they were there, and they were just having a time, and some young people gave him gospel tracks and talked to him about the Lord. And Otasis Maharis got saved. His girlfriend, Vicki Recadella, got saved. Jack Wurtson, the guy who founded Word of Life, took him under his wing, brought him up to Word of Life, began discipling them, began really growing in the Lord, got him down into Bob Jones University. This guy was on fire for the Lord at exactly the time when I was in the academy at Bob Jones and I was rebelling. And God put it, you know what happens. God put him in my room. And he would, you've probably heard me say it, but his name here in America, they call him Tom, but he's known also as Tassis because that's what it really is. But Tom could not say anything quietly. And at the time, they didn't have carpet in the dorms. They just had tile floors, you know, for washing them and all that in the guys' dorms. And we were on the third floor of Graves Dormitory. And Tom would get me, Tassis, we call him Tom. Tom would get me at 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd come up. You're going to go easy, aren't you? All right. He'd say, wake up, Bray, wake up. And I'm probably 11th grade, something like that. I may have been a senior, I don't remember which. He's yanking on me. I said, Tom, what do you want? Come with me. Well, he's my prayer cap, I got to go with him. Out in the middle of the hall, dorm rooms all the way down in that corridor, linoleum floor, tile floor, doors would open. Preach to him in the daytime. Wham, shut the door. Preach to him in the daytime. I couldn't stand him, couldn't stand him, couldn't stand him. Until Bible conference of that year, 2/3 of the way through the year, Dr. John R. Rice was preaching. I didn't care a word of what he said. I didn't care. Next to the back row there at Rhoda Heaver Auditorium. And I won't put you the rest of the story. It's not why we're here. God got a hold of this old wicked heart. The invitation was over. People were coming back from the room where they go to get, you know, a lot of them would go and pray. And I had to make my way, you know, dodging people coming out to get in down there and pour my heart out. Here's my point. Is that I was saved, but I was dodging. If I saw Tom coming down the street, I'd go this way. I couldn't stand him. I could not stand the guy until I got right with the Lord. Now, here's my point, and I'll quit. We're out of time. We need to go to prayer. It says the root of the righteous is foundational. So that we don't have to cower in a corner. Why? We had just a litany. We had a bunch of Bible verses. Larry started us off, and it went over here, and it went over there, and it went over here, and went over there, and over there, and over there, and over there, and over there. All I was looking for is just somebody to say, Proverbs chapter 12, 13, whatever, 12. In verse number 3 or whatever it is, 3 I think it is, maybe 5, 3. But the truth is, you gave that same message in surround sound. And what is that saying? That every one of us are tempted when we are drawn away of our lust and enticed. We're going to be tempted, but we don't have to go, oh, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can do this or not. Yes, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if you're growing in the Lord, and maybe you don't understand all the words you read. Maybe you don't understand all the principles. I was on my knees praying a couple of days ago saying, Lord, there's some things I don't understand. And I don't have to. I can just trust you until you show me what that means. But when we do and temptation comes, it can be like the depths of the sea where there may be a storm going up here and doing this, but nothing shaking that. Or it may be a snowstorm or a whatever on top of Mount Pisgah. And I've been in a cabin where the guy who built a cabin up there on the mountaintop, no, on Mount Mitchell, top of Mount Mitchell. And Bob, can't think of his last name. You would know him, maybe. But anyway, when he built it, he had to build it with straps that also is a beautiful cabin. Went across the straps both ways on the cabin to keep the winds up there on top of Mount Mitchell from blowing the cabin away. My point is this, friend. What a God we serve. Amen? And that's what Proverbs is trying to say. Just walk with God. Trust Him when you don't understand it. Trust Him. Because otherwise it leads to brutishness. It leads to condemnation. It leads to an unanswerable and all the other things that come if we travel the wrong road. But if we'll travel God's road, it may not be easy. We may not understand it. But let's ask God to help our root system That we're not trying to say, okay, I'm going to get that down a little further. I got to get this down. No, just love God. Walk with Him. Study the Word. Go out and be used of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to lay folks on your heart. Say, Lord, I want to be used of You today, and I don't know with whom You want me to be used. Lord, is there somebody needs encouraging? Is there somebody that's going through a hard time? Is there somebody that just is struggling in their walk with the Lord, and they just need somebody to come alongside? I've seen this man do that. I've already seen some of you doing that. What an opportunity we have to say, Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You do through us. Verse 4. Oh, I wish we had time. Can I just say it real fast? Notice what it says. Some of you are saying, your definition of real fast may not be exactly ours, all right? But let's look at it real quickly, and I promise it'll be quick. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. All right, what does that mean? All right, you know what virtuous means from what we talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue means doing the right. Can you help me out? I know it's hard to remember it, but virtue means doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason and in the right place. Very good. I'm impressed. The actual definition of it from the original language is moral uprightness. And that's kind of the way I define moral uprightness. It's just doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reason. Notice what it says. A virtuous woman, this is a woman who is looking. She has unhated instruction. She goes for it. She says, I want to be a woman of knowledge. Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman, who can know it? Price is far above rubies. Well, notice what it says here. It says, a virtuous woman, this is a woman who is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason and at the right place. What is she? She is a crown to her husband. Why? Let me just give this real fast. For that woman who is virtuous or is moving in the direction of being a virtuous woman because she loves God. She's a woman who's going after righteousness, right thing, right time, right place, right reason. Why is she a virtuous woman? Why is she a crown? She is a crown because righteousness adorns her. And to her husband, he admires her. Even if he's not saved. I have a great uncle who didn't get saved until he was over 90. He and his wife were married for 60 years. I've told that. He and his wife were married for 60 years. She got saved right after they got married. He forbade her from going to church all those years. She died. Not long after she died, he realized she had what I need. And he got saved. And he did something about it when he got saved. It was exciting to see. Here's the point. Is when she's a virtuous woman, her righteousness adorns her, he admires her. Her righteousness guides her. And if she's that kind of a virtuous woman, her husband's going to listen to her. I'm married to a lady like that. Now don't tell her I said that. But I'm married to a lady like that. She's right here for those of you who are listening on live stream and watching. I learn a lot from this lady. Why? Because she's a virtuous woman. Why is she a crown to her husband? Because her righteousness convicts her. And because of that, her husband respects her. Oh my. A godly woman in the making looks and seeks for precious jewels of righteousness with which to adorn her compassions, her convictions, and her character. Well, I enjoyed the study. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Isn't Proverbs rich? I'll be honest with you, folks. I've read Proverbs many, many times. I've preached it different times in different ways. But when we started this study, I've enjoyed this study of Proverbs more than I ever have. It's just rich. And when I take the verses apart a little bit, all right, what's first in that sequence? It's not, it is the first word this time. No, it's not. There's the first word. And the first word is bringing that second word to light. Or it's encouraging it, but not just encouraging it. It's enabling it. It's the word I was trying to think of. And so I hope you will. All right, so gentlemen, next time will be yours. And I'm looking forward to growing in the Lord as a result of it.